Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. Just don't go set go.
The world is listening.
Welcome to another episode of Sticks and Flicks with me, Ashley Richardson. And that music was, I guess, featured in the trailer for The Expendables 3, I think. I tried to find music relating to it because it does relate to one of the gaming stories this week. Don't worry, the review will probably be coming next episode. But, I'll start with the gaming, as I pretty much normally do. So the reason why I played the Expendables music is because Steam has got a free game up, and that is the Expender Bros. It's a movie tie-in game. Basically, it's the very well received and pretty fun arcade pick up and play game Broforce. And the guys that, you know, that produced the Expendables films and whatever, I guess have done a special deal to have a marketing version, you know, an Expendables game, except in the Broforce universe. So Expender Bros, so you've got, I think you've got Bro Christmas or something like that, and Stallone's character that I can't remember his name. They're all bro puns and whatever. But I don't think it's like it's sort of the equivalent of a free demo of Broforce, because that's the thing. It will cost you nothing to get, and I believe it is going to be free of charge until the end of the year. So you've got until December the 31st to download this and try it, because trust me. If you like arcade-style things like, I guess, Metal Slug or Contra, it is very similar to that, really. Just the Expendables brand thing is a little bit off, but the fact that you don't have to pay for this, I think, is an actual pretty good deal. Plus, if people are impressed by Expender Bros and haven't sampled Broforce, it acts as a pretty good free demo, actually, showcasing it off. It also showcases off the movie, I guess. But check that out. You've got till the end of the year, so you got plenty of time. But go ahead. I think quite a lot of you that listen to this will enjoy it, unless you've got a PC which can't handle it. In which case, well, you are me, or something. I can't play it myself, because I think it only operates on Windows 7 or Vista, so it doesn't work on my, it doesn't work on XP and everything properly, or if at all. But I suggest you go check it out. Now, the reason why I put that first is because I don't want to mention the big news of the week. That was that Evolve got delayed. What is this? You know, stuff that I'm excited for and it gets delayed. We'll get to that later. But yeah, on Evolve front, it's a shame that it has been delayed, but this case, I believe it's been done for the right reasons. People that apparently got access to the alpha versions, you know, the private alpha and beta test and whatever, said that the console versions were, you know, perfectly fine. They were pretty damn good. The PC versions were very, very poor, apparently. You know, a lot of broken, deals, glitches, not working properly to the console standard. And I guess Turtle Rock, understandably, wants to have the best experience for all three platforms on the PS4, the Xbox One, and the PC. So I think, for that reason, it actually makes sense for the delay. I believe it's February 10th. It's now coming out. Which means that's probably, that's around the same time that Batman might be coming out. And possibly Battlefield. So it looks like February is the new, oh crap, this is coming out month. Which was October, but then of course all these games got moved from October. So, I don't know. I'm gutted for that. Ultima Forever, which launched by EA about a year ago, is officially dead. EA has completely removed it from its services and everything and axed it. Which, you know, it wasn't a bad Ultima game from what fans of it said. It just, I guess the whole free-to-play monetization thing was what put people off. And how have EA, learned by this? Nothing, because they're probably going to, it looks like they're having monetization in all their games. Because it means more money for the company, which means a worse game experience, which means people are less likely to buy your game in the long run. Do you see what I'm trying to say here, EA? Oh, wait, of course, they don't listen to people. They just listen to the shareholders that go, look, sales are down. Either sort this out or we're selling stock. And then they'll go, okay. They might listen to them. We need to tell the shareholders. EA shareholders, stop the monetization. It might mean more money for you in the short term. Long term, not so much. And you don't want a short term business on a stock exchange. With my basic knowledge of the financial markets and everything. It's now been confirmed that there will be a white Xbox One coming with the Sunset Overdrive game if you want to get a bundle. Haven't got the picked up the console. I'd have thought this doesn't make sense because the whole thing of Sunset Overdrive is it's very colourful and like the image that I keep seeing everything is orange because that's the colour of a drink that's causing everybody to turn into the creatures that they are. And the orange, like, goop. So I'd have thought an orange Xbox One would have made more sense. Then again, people would have thought that was the orange box and then went, Half-Life 3 confirmed. Okay, that's a bit of a cheap joke, but yeah. I might as well put it there. So, there's been a leak, apparently, that Fruit Ninja Connect 2 is going to be coming. It hasn't been announced, but it's been leaked quite heavily. Whether we'll hear anything about that from Gamescom, we'll have to see. But, that's sort of surprising, because Fruit Ninja Connect 1 was fun, from what I remember. But, it wasn't an exceptional project, so it's there. Another leak actually came from I guess somewhere in Ubisoft, because they leaked the map for Assassin's Creed Unity. As I guess they created a real one, so they can get a gauge of how to do it to scale, I guess, in the game. And it looks like we are really covering this in depth. This is probably why it's next gen only, because practically every street you can think of that would have been around at the time in central Paris is part of the game. So, yeah, the map, the scale of it is pretty incredible. And with the size of it and the fact that it's going to be in next gen rendering and everything, I can sort of see why they don't want to put it on current gen if you're going to have a map that big. That'd be the equivalent of having, I guess, 1.5 to 2 Last of Us's, which in itself was pushing the PlayStation 3, and I guess, you know, if it was on the 360, pushing that way beyond its capabilities. So all in all, it's it looks like it actually means something. Why do I say that, though? We had official confirmation, finally, of the last-gen Assassin's Creed game. Assassin's Creed Rogue, it's confirmed. It's going to be a bit different, because you're going to be playing as a Templar. Shay Patrick Conn, I believe his name is. I think, if I can read my handwriting. Cornell, perhaps? Shay Patrick Cormack, possibly. He is apparently betrayed for some reason and becomes an assassin's hunter, aka a Templar. So you're going to see this from the other side of the veil, I guess, this time. It's going to be set in 18th century America. They haven't really given us a date, but they have sort of specified this is going to be 7 years after the events of Assassin's Creed 3. So, not Assassin's Creed 3. Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. It's going to be set 7 years after that. It's coming out November the 11th, so you've got a couple of weeks. Special edition obviously is coming out because it's an Assassin's Creed game, and they have confirmed that this will be the last, should be, I guess. They've confirmed it. I honestly probably believe that, considering the way that they've endlessly promoted Unity, and then Rogue is the one people are looking forward to most because it looks like a more intriguing story because of the Templar thing. It's going to be the last on last gen. So PlayStation 3 and the 360 will no longer be supported, apparently. Which makes sense, but there'll be games on last gen consoles on certain platforms, I'd say, for at least a few more years. It's not going to be immediately cut and dry, gone. I think you're still going to get, I mean, you know, if they went up to FIFA 14 on PlayStation 2, starting from FIFA 2001, I think that tells you that there's still some time there to have some games. So, you know, perhaps don't think about getting rid of your old consoles just yet. Mainly because Assassin's Creed Rogue does look very intriguing. So if you don't know which one to get, probably get Assassin's Creed Rogue. Wait a couple of months, get a new console when the prices go down, and then get Assassin's Creed Unity. Because it looks like Unity is going to be a completely different story. Probably. I'm not sure. EA Access. Some more details on that. Apparently it doesn't need Xbox Gold. You can just sign up to the service even if you don't have Gold, which is confusing because if you want to play games online, you have to have Gold, as in multiplayer. So all the games like FIFA and Battlefield and Madden, you need Gold anyway. So a bit awkward, I don't know. Peter Moore, CEO and all that of EA, has said that the library is permanent and substantial. Nothing will ever get removed. I'd like to take a little bit of umbrage to that comment, Mr. Moore, because let's be honest. When we get to, let's say, FIFA 17 or FIFA 18, I really don't think you're still going to have FIFA 14 on your servers as an online game for people to play. Realistically, financially, it doesn't make sense to do that. So why, in your infinite wisdom, which of course there isn't any, would you say something like that? Yeah, library's permanent, substantial. Yeah, that's something that I would call permanent, I think, is bullcrap. Substantial, I guess we'll see. I think it's rumoured to be launching soonish. So hopefully we'll get more details from people that get their hands on it soon. Undead Labs, the guys behind the State of Decay game, have unveiled their new project, Moonrise, which is actually a mobile RPG. So they're going into the mobile handheld market. Which I think is it's a smart little move. They were teasing that it wasn't going to be exclusive to one console, and of course it isn't, because it's not even on consoles, it's on mobile, so that's pretty smart. Yeah, this is one that I guess has been going for a while. Dan Adnan, who was Nintendo's indie program manager, has left. The statement that he gave on this was brilliant, because he said, because what it was, going back a few months apparently, you know, this wasn't in the news because they didn't spot it, but apparently he was basically restricted from giving his views on Twitter about things within the company. Because they didn't want that sort of stuff being revealed, I guess, because of the Japanese culture thing. Because what it was, he was trying to, you know, promote the fact that these indie games were coming to the platform that he was signing the deals with, and they were really putting the handcuffs on him. Not, you know, you've got to toe the company line. You know, you can't say, oh, I'd love to have such and such a game on. It's like Nintendo will have such and such a game. You don't have any choice on whether you think it's right. So, he went offline on, well, he didn't go offline, but all his tweets were clearly sort of stage manager, to say, for quite a few months. And then posting up on Twitter, his response was, well, so, myself and Nintendo have come to an agreement regarding me able to speak my mind on Twitter about things. And the following tweet read, the amicable agreement is that I no longer work for them. I just think that's a brilliant sort of, yeah, I resigned sort of deal. He was very passionate, though, about saying, you know, it's just his feelings, and that's why he left the project. It wasn't ill will against the indie thing, because he really was tooting the trumpet, you know, supporting that side of the thing, saying that, you know, it's a good platform for people to develop their games and get their stuff on. Shame is, it's just not got the market share, really, that the Wii originally had. And to be honest, unless things drastically change, I don't think it ever will. And, you know, that isn't good. Destiny, quite a bit of news. Well, I shouldn't say quite a bit of news. Multiple retailers around the entire world have been in a little bit of a trouble because I guess too many people have pre-ordered the special edition, the Ghost Edition, because quite a lot of stores are having to contact people saying, you know that pre-order you did? We're having to cancel it. Which has obviously left people irate. However, Bungie have pretty much said, we said it was going to be limited edition. So, no, it's not. It's sort of not your fault. It's sort of the retailer's fault for not gauging, you know, how many special editions could be pre-purchased and everything, you know, pre-ordered and all that. Apparently, pre-orders for this special edition are already going for over $1,000 on eBay, despite the fact the game isn't coming out till September the 9th. This is incredibly crazy. Whether this will get... I'm guessing people are getting... I think there is a special edition. Like, there's a standard edition, there's a special edition, and there's the Ghost one, so they might be switching them to the Ghost one, and then I guess giving store credit or a refund or whatever to compensate for the fact that they aren't now getting the Ghost Edition as planned. But yeah, crazy stuff there. Special edition news as well, coming from the Hyrule Warriors special Nintendo Direct video. Ganondorf is playable, because I guess he isn't the baddie in this one, which is a shame. There is going to be some historic firsts for Nintendo, though. As the US edition, if you pre-order it, you will get exclusive access to DLC that won't be available to people that just buy it regularly until a few months or so down the line. I can't remember. Actually, I don't think they've properly specified what that is, but the UK, I think, gets the sweeter deal, to be honest. They get a hand-knitted scarf that looks like Link's scarf from the Legend of Zelda Wii U demo that they showed at E3, the blue scarf with the orange trimming. That's impressive, and that'll keep me warm in the winter. Yeah. It's a win-win all the way. GTA 5. Some news on that, because Take-Two provided their details for money and whatever. GTA 5 has shipped 34 million copies so far. It's not sold, it's only shipped, but to think that's 34 million... just on the 360 and the PS3. So when it comes around to next gen and PC later in the year, I sense that might double. And I think that probably would make GTA 5 the biggest selling game ever. Bigger than... That's the ironic thing. GTA 5 could actually outsell the new Call of Duty, despite the fact GTA 5 is 1 year old, or at least it will be probably by the time it comes out, which I would just laugh and smile and go, yeah, wow, Activision, how does it feel? Oh, that'd be so pleasing. I'm looking forward to that. GameStop have announced that they're apparently simplifying their trade-ins and offering 20% more value now. Obviously, we've also got the news that they're doing the credit card thing, which, you know, I don't think is a huge great deal, because obviously that does mean another thing to add on the list of, oh, do you want disc repair service? It's only $1. Do you want? Have you got a loyalty card, which gets you, you know, one game for every 10,000 you purchase? No, you got a credit card with us. We only have low rate. Yeah, we have such low rates that from what I can hear, the rate is probably level with other retailers that have credit cards, like Best Buy, Kmart, and all that. But it's nowhere near the level of the banks. It's a pretty high interest. So of course, if there's no money on that account, and you immediately go into debt on the thing, and the interest is, I can't remember, but it's basically that you'll be paying at the end of a month or so, possibly another $10 or whatever, on top of your 60 for a regular game. I don't think that's the way it works. Yeah, don't think so. Of course, WWE 2K15 had its special edition stuff all revealed by IGN. The Hulkamania one, which is only next gen, which is a shame, but it's apparently got a part of the ring apron, which was stood on at WrestleMania 30, which of course means, I don't know if it's the ring apron or the ring mat. I think it's the mat, to be honest, by the looks of the picture that they show. But anyway, it's part of the WrestleMania ring. So they're trying to say, oh, this is the mat that Hulk Hogan walked on. I'm sort of going, this is the mat where the streak ended. This is the mat where Daniel Bryan finally got his chance in the sun. This is the mat where, I can't even remember. John Cena won again. Something like that. Anyway, also you get Hulk Hogan content. DLC wise, and get a special fancy box, a hand signed card picture thing, and also a NWO Hulkamania style figure, one of those vinyl figures, which I will admit looks pretty damn awesome. That looks pretty cool. Now this is one that also, this news sort of was, I didn't see coming. So Capcom have decided to reveal that they will be doing a next-gen Resident Evil. Wait, don't get excited. Resident Evil HD, which I guess was the one on GameCube, I think that was Resident Evil HD. They've announced that that is going to be remastered and re-enhanced and everything for the next generation of consoles. So you will be getting it apparently later this year, I think it is. Or perhaps later this year, early next year. They haven't properly specified a date from what I remember. But you will be getting the game. It's not the original version from 96 or whatever it was, which, I want it to be, because that was cheesy as all hell, but damn fun. And, it made sense for it to go more serious, but it sort of lost some of its charm, that GameCube remake. Don't get me wrong, it's still a good game, but, the impact of, the Jill Sandwich lines wasn't as good. Another pre-order deal that it's worth just mentioning here, because this was incredible. So Game in the UK revealed the Halo Master Chief Collection having a special edition, which featured, I think it's a foot and a half size Master Chief figure with the collection. I can't remember what the price was, mainly because within half an hour of it being listed on their website, it was sold out. I don't know how many people have bought this worldwide, because knowing crazy people, they probably do something like that. But, that's a bit ridiculous to me. But I guess that's how much fans like Halo. Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition appeared on Amazon. And then got officially revealed, right at the end of the week, that it's going to be coming to the PC, even though it was already on the PC, and the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One on October the 10th. So that now puts it, I think, head-to-head with nothing, because Dragon Age moved, and Alien Isolation is coming out on the 7th of October, on the Tuesday, because I'm saying it should be brilliant, hence why it's getting the international release around the world at the same time. But, yeah, if you haven't played that game, if you're on PC, I suggest you just get the edition when it comes in a Steam sale or a Steam offer, thing like that. In terms of consoles, I feel it's enough quality of a game for you to get on next gen if you haven't played it already. If you have, I don't know whether the interest is massively there, but this is another case of Square Enix, you know, basically going, look, we know you liked it on last gen, please buy it on next gen, please. Because, you know, 6 million for Tomb Raider apparently is underselling, despite the fact no Tomb Raider's ever done 6 million before. Well done, Square Enix. Anyway, wow. Free games. Yeah, I've got to be excited about that. EA Origin has changed up their free game deal, and for, I think it's the next few weeks, you'd have to check Origin's own website, but you can claim, you actually don't have to download it, it's pretty much like Steam, you can claim the free game as when it's there. You can claim Wing Commander 3. Yes, that is the one with Mark Hamill and all the crazy stuff going on. Which is actually a pretty classic game, to be honest. So, if you are on PC and you don't have an Origin account, sign up for one for free, like I have, and claim the game. I haven't downloaded any of them, mainly because my computer probably can't run half the games. You know, won't be able to run Dead Space. It won't be able to run The Sims. It won't. It runs Peggle, but I've got that from another free promotion anyway, direct from PopCap before they got bought out by EA. But anyway, check that out. That's a pretty impressive deal. I talked previously about the Take-Two financials and sales figures and all that. Figures also came in from Blizzard. Diablo 3 has reached 20 million sales worldwide. However, the one significant thing for them is World of Warcraft. The subscription numbers have dropped by 1 million over, I think it's the last, I know it's the last 3 months of the last year, but they've dropped to 6.8 million. And to be honest, I see it. That shows you how desperate that they want the official release date announced for Warriors of Draenor, which I'm guessing is probably coming in the next week or so. Ground Zeroes, Konami revealed that the PlayStation 4 versions outsold the Xbox One version by 3-1. So out of 4 copies of the game, one was on Sony. Sorry, 3 were on Sony and 1 was on Microsoft. So I think it's clear to see there that at least in terms of Metal Gear, people still like playing it or prefer playing it on Sony platforms. And then also, in a sort of bare all, the developers of Shovel Knight revealed like the intricate details of their financials. But the main thing that I do want to mention regarding it, I don't want to go into like the huge deal on profit losses and each individual spend or whatever, but they have revealed that within its first month, it sold 180,000 copies on across all the platforms that it's on, which for an indie game is pretty damn impressive. So congrats to them. No, mainly because it's a damn good game. It's a really fun homage to the 8-bit side-scroller shooter, well, side, not shooters, 8-bit side-scroller style games. Now, Codemasters got in a bit of trouble. Basically, a couple of weeks back, they released Colin McRae Rally on Steam. And the description was basically saying, you know, relive the old game, you know, from the era of Colin McRae 2.0, which I will admit is bloody fun. Bloody. I said bloody a lot and I yawned. Apologise. Yeah, it really is. It's one of my favourite driving games that I've ever played. Mainly because there is the cheat where you can go into multiplayer mode, and then when you brake or handbrake, you shoot fireballs out the front and basically send the other cars flying, like it's an explosion, Expendables series or something like. However, when people looked into this version on Steam, they found out that it was the mobile version that came out last year to some pretty good acclaim. But the problem is it had, I think, 30 stages from a few rallies that was part of the thing, and only like 4 or 5 cars, which is at least half of what the original roster was in 2.0. But the description never said that. So Codemasters has been out of their own pocket. This isn't a Valve deal. They have been offering refunds for people that were unhappy with it because it wasn't as advertised. They've now changed it to specify that it is the mobile version, which has just been ported over for Steam that people can play. So at least they're being honest there, and at least people now know it's not the game that they thought it was. Which is a shame, because, you know, that means we still have to rely on getting those old discs in order to play that. Some FIFA news, which is arguably big for the fans here in the UK. And that is all 20 stadiums of all 20 teams that are playing in this current season of the Barclays English Premier League. All 20 stadiums are going to be in the game. They've been fully recreated and, I guess, scanned in and whatever. And, yeah, that's the first time in history that all the stadium have been incorporated. I believe in the last one there was about 8 or 9. Certainly, I think Chelsea was, and I think Man U and Arsenal and Tottenham, and there was at least half a dozen, I'm pretty sure, UK grounds that were, as you know, that appeared as they were in the actual game and not sort of recreated. So, yeah, I guess we've got progress there. Dota 2, Steamworks content, seems to be hinting that there's been a soft launch of the Source 2 engine, which, of course, is now making people think Left 4 Dead 3, Dota 3, Half-Life 3, Team Fortress 3, The Orange Box 3. Oh, wait, that's Sunset Overdrive. But yeah, that's there. The Xbox One, this is one that really put, well, I don't get it. The Xbox One in the Europe area will be getting a digital TV tuner coming in around October, November time. Basically what it is your TV aerial feed will go directly into the tuner, which goes directly into the Xbox One. My problem is, what if you want to also use a video recorder or a DVD recorder or a PVR or something like that to record your favourite shows that are on? You're going to have to get some sort of splitter cable, and splitter cables, at least from what I've experienced, really, you know, degrade the quality. Especially because it looks like there's only an output. Or, you know, there's an output or an input socket on it. There isn't another socket where it can transfer over to something else. So Mainly it's because they want you to actually use that as you, they want you to use the Xbox as your television. I would just basically not, because it makes more sense for you to switch through the channels, you know, and just because if you say Xbox go to TV, it does it anyway. You know, it's not like, you know, Xbox go to Playboy channel, Xbox go to BBC News channel. Yeah, that'd actually be an eclectic mix. Yeah, you know, I've had enough of watching scantily clad women on Playboy. Let's see what's going on Syria or something. Yeah, I don't think that works. We'll see if anybody buys it when it comes out in a couple of months. Twitch. Oh, Twitch. Twitch. Yeah, there we go. So, they decided to make changes without really giving any consent or knowledge to people that used it. So now people are allowed to only capture 2 hours of highlights per video. You can't do a giant video of a major long stream. Also, your archives will now be wiped after such a period of time. I think Justin.tv now is officially dead. It's only Twitch. Also, copywritten music is now muted on archives, which makes sense, but the problem is this is being done by automated bots, and by doing that, when there's copyrighted music, about 30 minutes of audio gets taken off. Which is awkward because, one, there might be somebody doing commentary over the top of it, and two, the track might have lasted 2.5 minutes, but somehow 30 minutes has been muted. Apparently there is an appeal system that they sort of came up with and said, you know, that's what it is. You know, sort of the copyright material stuff was inevitable, but the irony as well is this has been affected by major developers. So Steam, when they provided the live coverage of the international esports contest that happened last month, their stream with the music from their own game has been muted for copyright reasons. I don't know how that's happened, but apparently it has. If anybody can tell me, well, if anybody from somewhere can tell me why, I don't know. And then the best bit, Twitch's own broadcast that they did the week before these changes came in got muted and pulled because of copywritten music. So, you know, I can't even say double standards, because that's just caught them off guard and basically made them have egg on their faces. But the major people, the main critique of this has been the people that really matter to Twitch, and that's speedrunners. You know, speedrunners have been using Twitch to archive their gameplay so they can be sent, and then it can all be verified, and then if they do get a world record on Super Mario 64 or whatever, the archive is there for them to, you know, transfer and access and put into a video so it can be officially sent for submission and all that. From what they were doing with the highlights and everything, if you were playing a game that was something like Final Fantasy, where like a complete run would take about 7 hours, that'd require 4 videos. And of course, by doing that, you'd have to split it up into 4 parts. So they're basically immediately said that they're going to look at the processes and try and get it all resolved, I think they said, by the end of the month. So it's everybody knows what the deal is and how it all goes. But to be honest, it's not been handled very well by any party, to be honest. Surprise, surprise, Rise is coming to PC this autumn. So after the follow-up from the fact that Dead Rising 3 didn't do that well on the Xbox One, now Rise, which didn't do well on the Xbox One, is coming to PC as well. They haven't given a date. They have just said in the fall, in the autumn. Obviously, Dead Rising is coming out, I think, early September-ish. So whether that all, something will happen with that, we'll see. But I guess don't get your hopes up. Diablo 3, confirmation now. To be honest, pretty important confirmation. The Ultimate Evil Edition, it does feature cross-platform save transfers to next-gen. So if you have a save on a PS3, you can transfer it to the One. If you have it on a 360, you can transfer it to a PS4. Or, of course, you can, you know, PS3 to PS4, Xbox 360 to Xbox One. So at least they're giving options there, but obviously once you've transferred the save, you know, that's it. You can't really go back to it on the previous platform. Mass Effect, some big news regarding them. BioWare, the head producer of the Mass Effect series, Casey Hudson, has left BioWare. I think he's setting up some sort of new studio himself, or I can't remember the details on it, but yeah, it's a shame to see him go, because obviously he was the main component of making that game, you know, franchise a real hit, to be honest. Okay, people crapped on the third one, or at least on the ending of it, but all in all, it's a pretty good series compared to, you know, what could have happened anyway. Activision is teasing a return of the Sierra brand, which used to do the Leisure Suit Larry and King's Quest games. Even, I think, the last one that I bought, Leisure Suit Larry Magna Cum Lord, that was a Sierra game, and yeah, they were good developers, or good publishers, I guess, whatever. Back in the day, in the 80s and 90s, and I guess early 2000s, some really good games from them. They sort of got bundled into Activision, but now it looks as if the brand is being resurrected, which I have no problem with, because I had no problem with Sierra. They were good. And I guess finally, I don't know why I'm ending on this, but yeah, I guess I am. There is a man suing Sony that is claiming for gamers, it's on behalf of gamers apparently, that Killzone Shadowfall was falsely advertised, because they basically said it's in full HD on consoles across, you know, all game modes. And some guy, I guess somebody noticed that on the multiplayer, it wasn't actually 1080p. I think it was like 968 or 900 or something like that. And so because of that, they're saying that isn't full HD. Apparently, this is the same person behind the false advertising for Aliens Colonial Marines. I get the Colonial Marines one, because the product that they showed was inferior to the product that we actually got. The product that we always saw of Killzone and its multiplayer looks exactly the same as what we got in Killzone Shadowfall. And also, let's be honest, 720p is HD. It's, you know, if you're going to be pernickety on the term full, for full HD, are you really going to notice unless you've got, I think, like a 70 or 80 inch screen? I don't think you are, so we'll see what goes on there. Of course, you know, he's also behind the Alien Colonial Marine stuff, which that's got, you know, even more crazy now, because Gearbox, I think a few weeks back, said that they were not part of the deal. They want to be taken out of this court case and everything that's been done, because it wasn't them that was responsible for the marketing of the stuff. They just developed the thing. If you want to blame the marketing and the false advertising of it, blame Sega. They were the guys that published it. We made the stuff. They chose what to publish in order to promote the thing. It wasn't us. So yeah, hopefully we get some resolution to that soon, so it isn't hanging over everybody's head and then it goes into court for years and whatever. So that's all on the gaming front. We're going to take our first and only break this week. A bit of a shorter show this time. And when I come back, movie entertainment news and also a review of a contender possibly for best film of the year and the best film possibly of the past 12 years. Why is that? I'll explain after this break.
Every month on the SNS Radio Network, check out the podcast that deals with conspiracy theories, mysteries, and the unknown. Check out Unplugged CT with Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson, and Bronxzilla. You have questions, we have answers. Keep an open mind, because the truth is out there.
The truth shall set you free.
Standing ovation here. Let's go to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled to take you back in time. Host ring announcer Sean Beckerman brings you pro wrestling nostalgia featuring classic moments and old school themes. So buckle up and go beyond the bell. Each and every week on the SNS Radio Network, it's go time.
Hey guys, it's me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson. And I want to take a moment to let you guys know that personally, I appreciate the support that we've had here on the SNS Radio Network over the years. And I'm here to tell you about a new way that you can help us out and show your support for the SNS Radio Network. We now have a way for you to donate to the SNS Radio Network. If you go to the SNSRadioNetwork.com main page, scroll down. There is now a donate button on the page. Now, I'm not saying you have to donate to us, but your donation is very appreciated as we do a lot of hard work on the SNS Radio Network. Spend a lot of our time and our own money to make sure that you guys have entertaining podcasts and live shows on the SNS Radio Network. So to those who have donated so far, On behalf of the SNS Radio Network, we appreciate you and your continued support. And for those that will donate in the future, again, we thank you for your support of the SNS Radio Network. www.snsradionetwork.com, providing you with free podcasts since 2010.
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W. and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe. Exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Hey guys, it's me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson. And make sure you're checking out SNS Unplugged each and every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as myself and Bronxzilla, Tony J. Mirabella, bring you the latest news of the week, sponsored by wrestling-online.com, the NXT Rewind with Anthony Farley, everything that went down on Raw via the Raw Reaction, plus your phone calls and emails, and you never know what craziness might happen on the show. Once again, every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, SNS Unplugged, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network, www.snsradionetwork.com. It's unscripted, uncensored, unbelievable. It's Unplugged.
Hey guys, this is Ashley.
And this is Sandro.
And we're here to make sure that you check out the whole indie show each week on the SNS Radio Network, as both of us, along with our other co-host Randy, cover everything that you need to know on all things indie wrestling.
It's your place for all the most recent indie news and event results, reviews of the latest shows from all the major promotions, and previews for all the upcoming events. We also want your feedback on any indie stuff you may have seen as well.
Plus, you know, you never know, you might even get a few paperclip references now and then. So for all that and much more, listen to the whole indie show every week here on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey guys, it's me, Mr. Money on the Mic, Jeff Jackson. Just a reminder for you to listen to Sunday Night Showdown every pay-per-view Sunday, as I'll be joined by my broadcast partner, the Bronx Father, Tony J. Mirabella, Harmony Boom Boom Jackson, and Mark the Shark DiCarlo, as we provide the best pay-per-view coverage of the WWE. And it starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, every pay-per-view Sunday. Sunday Night Showdown, your home for WWE pay-per-view coverage.
Hey everybody, this is the Bronx Father to tell you about the Get in the Zone podcast every weekend right here on the SNS Radio Network with myself, my co-host Anthony Farley, and bringing you the TNA recap.
No! God, please, no! No!
L-Train. We also cover SmackDown, some news, and you might even get moments like this.
Oh, my brother! Testify!
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God. Wow, that wasn't half bad.
What the f***?
To quote... See, since I'm imitating D-Von tonight, I might as well run the gamut of black wrestlers and go with Booker T. Tell me I did not just... hear that.
It's one of those things to edit. To edit or not to edit? That is the question.
For the reaction Anthony's giving, you cannot edit this one.
Oh, shit. Anthony's dead. He's just done. Oh, we might as well just end the show right now. So... check out the archive every single weekend and drop us an email anytime, snsgetinthezone@gmail.com, right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Doug, can you dig that?
Hey there, listeners of the SNS Radio Network, Mindwipe here from the Elite Force podcast, reminding you that when there is no live show or podcast airing, there is our wonderful little jukebox feature we have on the SNS Live page. Simply go to the website, pick a track you want to listen to, and then wait for it to come up. It's just like being in a bar and having a jukebox, except you don't have to pay for it. Additionally, don't forget, you can tune in to all the great shows on the SNS Radio Network Live, including all the live shows and podcasts, via TuneIn, The World's Radio, and Stitcher Smart Radio. Just go to either of those, download them to your mobile app or tablet, and search for SNS. There you go, folks. How much simpler could it be? A jukebox, live shows, podcasts, mobile access, everything you could ever want, right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Second and final part this week of SNS Dicks and Flicks with me, Ashley Richardson, and yeah, that music. What is it about me getting excited about stuff? and then having it delayed till February. So it happened with Evolve. And now, as you all have heard previously in mentions here and also on Elite Force podcast, I was avidly looking forward to Kingsman: The Secret Service, which was supposed to be coming out in October. Coming out the same day as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I was like, well, I know what I'm seeing, and it ain't going to be the Turtles. Apparently now I don't have a choice, because Kingsman: The Secret Service has now been delayed till February 2015. February the 14th, to be exact. Yeah, the same day as 50 Shades of Grey. Now, I can see why, because, you know, S&M porn isn't going to be everybody's cup of tea. I get that, but apparently the reason that they want to delay it is they want the CGI to be good, and also to create even more of a marketing push behind it. Sorry, you know, we're 2 months away from the thing coming out. I'm already excited just from the trailer, and because the reputation that Matthew Vaughn has, and Mark Miller has, and Mark Strong has, and Colin Firth has, and Michael Caine has, and Samuel L. Jackson has. It looks brilliant. Why do I have to wait? And also, what is it going on with these studios not being able to cope with a little bloody CGI? You know, Jupiter Ascending, the new film from Wachowskis, got delayed by 6 months because the CGI wasn't ready. If this is the case, then half the Expendables 3, with its CGI, which apparently it's getting now, that would have been delayed till next year. You know, Planet of the Apes delayed till next year. Transformers delayed. Just trying to think. Pretty much anything that's got CGI, which is quite a lot, would have been delayed. And, you know, it's just a little disheartening to me, but, you know, I guess I'll have to wait till February and get excited then. The Last of Us movie, some news about that. It's a bit worrying for fans of the game. It's still going to be about Joel and Ellie, but will differ in other significant areas, apparently. The problem is here, the story itself is good enough for a movie, but apparently they want to mix and match it up. Which could be this film's downfall, because it's a perfect story in itself. They've got to be careful with the hatchet job that they do on it in order to make it fit, I guess, to a feature film length or whatever. They've got to be careful, because I know it's a new IP, but it's an IP that already has got a lot of loyal fans. And if Sony screws it up, movie-wise, I think you can pretty much say the video game movie is dead. Because if you can take a... You know, let's be honest. You know, Hitman games aren't everybody's cup of tea. Mortal Kombat games aren't every cup of tea. Street Fighter, you know, all that. Last of Us has garnered appeal from anybody and everybody. You know, 200 Game of the Year awards. Not every Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or Tekken or Hitman game got Game of the Year awards. There's a reason why it got all the acclaim, because the story is, I wouldn't say perfect, but it's up there as being probably one of the best written stories of this generation, if not ever. Because there's a lot of depth and a lot of stuff that isn't revealed in it that is just as deep as the stuff that is revealed. And the fact that you're saying it's going to differ in significant areas has me a little worried. We'll see what happens. We've still got till 2016 for that. Two major people in the world of entertainment passing away. Robin Williams died age 63. I don't think you really need me to talk about him that much, because I think you've heard it quite a bit over the last few days, weeks or so, and whatever, as you know, info keeps trickling out. However, the big one that I do want to mention is Marilyn Burns, aka the definitive, I'd say, Scream Queen, because it was her playing Sally in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974 that really originated the term Scream Queen. And that's how you got all these female protagonists, you know, Ripley screaming and Laurie from the Halloween series screaming, just all that. All from, I mean, who knows? You know, from what I remember from the like interviews that she gave, like looking back on it, she doesn't even remember the iconic scene at the end of the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre film. Because when she did the spot, like jumping through the window, that was actually her doing the stunt, and I guess she cut herself, or you know, knocked herself, or you know, broke a bone or something. I can't remember which, but that screaming at the end, where she's yelping, you know, the fact that she's managed to get away, that's partial acting, but partial probably real because of the injury she sustained, and I think that's why her performance in that is so powerful and haunting. Now, you may not be a fan of all the gore and everything, which is understandable because not everybody's into horror films, but if you look at that performance alone, aside from all the gore and everything, and that last scene when she's in the back of the pickup truck, it's one of the most harrowing horror scenes that there's probably been in history, and that's even with like no deaths happening in it, because everybody's already dead because they've all been killed by Leatherface and his family and all that. But yeah, Marilyn Burns passing away at the age of 65. Something else that I wish also would die, apparently, due to it doing so well in America, which is probably fair because it's been the box office number one, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are getting a sequel, which is coming out in 2016. So, yeah, a 2-year gap for a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. You know, I can't judge it because I've got to wait till October to see it, because now I guess I probably have to. But it's just, I don't know. Is a 2-year gap really too short a time span for something like this? Because, you know, I'm just thinking. Obviously, you know, Hunger Games can do it consecutive years because that's the approach that it's trying to do. But I think Transformers was 2 years, but then it got delayed 2013 to 2014. I just think 2 to 3 years is what franchises should be doing. Like, look at James Bond. You know, that's on a 3-year cycle. And I think that's because it just fits and it fits the flow. The reason why you haven't had a Pirates of the Caribbean movie for 4 years is because that's how long it needs to really gestate to get a good project. 2 years is just making me think they're just going to throw a script at the wall and hope people like it, which makes me skeptical for the sequel, despite how good or bad or average this film is. As I say, I'll give my own opinion on it when I actually see it. in a couple of months. But judging from what Walkie said on EFP, you know, it's not bad, but it's also not really what you'd expect it to be. Which is a good Turtles film. It's sort of average to meh, which is what I'm expecting. That's the sad thing. I guess the idea is go in with your hopes low and you'll get a good film or a decent film. If you go in with hopes high, if you go in with hopes low, it'll be like, oh my God, this is the best film ever. And then you'll be like, oh wait, Johnny Knoxville. It's still going to be a thing. Arrested Development has all but confirmed that a fifth season will be coming to Netflix, which I approve of. Because it had its hits and misses, season four, but it was overall a pretty good season. It was, to be honest, good to have it back. So, as long as we can get sort of back on the form of the TV version for this one, that would be pretty cool. Speaking of TV acts, though, Lonely Island have decided to put, I guess, their dicks in a box. If I can use that. And the box is now owned by Universal, apparently. Yeah, the guys that brought us Hot Rod, which wasn't too bad a film, actually. Lonely Island are going to be making a movie for Universal. It's unknown what it is, but their next movie project will be a Universal picture. Speaking of Universal as well, they've also bought the rights to the Vampire Chronicles adaptation, or, you know, film adaptations of the books. You might remember the name of the Vampire Chronicles because it was those books that inspired, I guess, the first in the series, which was the quite famous Interview with a Vampire, The Vampire Chronicles, which came out in 93, I believe it was, with Tom Cruise and Christian Slater and all that. It actually was a pretty good film. Why there wasn't sequels, I don't know, but will we see some from Universal? Well, considering they've bought the rights, I'm guessing we'll see at least one, and we'll see how it goes. Terry Gilliam's Don Quixote will now start filming very early next year, mainly because the whole concept of the film has changed. It's now going to be contemporary rather than being set in the period like he always wanted it to be. But it's going to be very meta because the lead character, I don't believe it's called Don Quixote, but the lead character is made a movie of Don Quixote, and it's affected people. You know, some people are overcome with joy, some people are you know, curling back in horror. Some people are physically throwing up. Some people are basically wanting to kill the director. A lot of extreme emotions is caused, and it's basically it's meta. It's basically all the trials and tribulations that have always come with a Don Quixote film from Terry Gilliam are going to be incorporated in it, which I think is actually genius. So, yeah, can't wait for some more wacky Gilliam stuff down the line. Karma Clacklin has confirmed to be joining Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for this second season that's coming up in the next few months, I believe. They haven't really specified what role, though, so as long as he's Donald Love from GTA, that's all that matters. If you people out there can remember Karma Clacklin being in GTA 3. Now, Eli Roth's Cannibal Holocaust movie, The Green Inferno, got pulled from release. I think it's supposed to be coming out in the next few weeks. Got pulled from release in America due to, apparently, Worldview, the company that's been doing the marketing and also distribution of the project. The new female owner who's taken over from some gentleman that I don't remember the name of, she has felt that the funding provided for the marketing for the thing has been inappropriate with regards to the quality or the project that's come out. And, you know, that's fair. I think it's being shown as part of the Fright Fest that's going on in the UK in a few weeks or so, a week or two, something like that. I can't remember. But other than that, it may not get a proper release. Which actually, the article that I got this from on Empire brought up the fact that All the Boys Love Mandy Lane was released over here in like 2007, 2008. I think because it's an Australian film, it came out in 07 there, was released in 08 here. The US did not see that film until 2013. Now, this All the Boys Love Mandy Lane was the film that arguably made Amber Heard. And from that, she really gained a good reputation. The confusing thing is, in America, this came after she'd already become big through other stuff like Drive Angry and... I can't think of anything else she's been in off the top of my head. But, yeah, I hope we aren't going to have another one of them. Now, this is probably treading a little bit on EFP, but I want to just... I want to rant on this fully now, because one of the last times I was on EFP, I ranted about the whole idea that they're going to do 7 movies in 3 years. It turns out I don't even have to worry, because they're doing, instead of doing, 7 in 3, they're doing 10 to 12 in 5. What the shit? I get it with, I get it with Marvel. But, with Marvel, you're not going to see major crossover stuff. And you're not going to see the release dates this ridiculous. So Batman Superman got moved to late March. That's already been discussed on EFP. I won't go into that. But from then on, you've got August 2016... June and November 2017. And also November 2017. No, I've already said that. June and November 2017. Then March and July 2018 with some sort of other... I think Walkie called it an event film in November 2018. So whether that's actually a superhero DC film or whether it's something else that Warner Brothers is trying to do, I don't know. And then... For 2019 and 2020, you've got April and June. And just... No! No! Why are we getting so many films in such a concentrated period of time? This is just... We had 4 in October, November. Then 4 months later in 2014, I will add... We had Captain America in February. Then another 4 months goes by, or 5, and we have Guardians of the Galaxy. The key thing is, 4 teased obviously something at the end, but didn't go into details. Captain America teased something, but didn't go into details. And then Guardians of the Galaxy... as of now, really is a standalone. It doesn't seem to be anything other than showing Thanos, which I don't think is going to be a big thing. But it's just the fact that... And I get that Avengers 2 and Ant-Man are going to be like a month or two apart from each other. But we know that Ant-Man is Phase 3. My issue is... if we're going to get April and June 2020 and then an event film in November, that's going to be 3 major projects from Marvel in this... from DC. Get my names right. 3 major projects in this... within 6 or 7 months of each other. And to me, that, just hints... too much in one space. I was talking about spacing things properly. Marvel is... I think the reason Marvel are doing the Ant-Man thing, as I said... I'm just ranting about it here because... It's just they're trying to do release dates to make everybody else not put release dates in. And to me, it's just them basically going, we got dibs on that, nobody else can take it. Just, Warner Brothers, DC, get your fucking act together, okay? Please. I apologise if I've, you know, reiterated anything that's been said on EFP, but I feel that passionate about it. I had to rant, and there you go. 10 to 12 projects in 4 to 5 years. Fuck it. Anyway, on lighter notes, going back. Oh, wait, this might explain why there's no fucking films on... No, wait. J.K. Rowling's Fantastic Beasts sequels. So the first one's been developed, I think, for 2016. Or, yeah, 2015, 2016, I can't remember. The sequels are coming out November 2018 and November 2020. From what I remember, Harry Potter is Warner Brothers. November 2018 and November 2020, the same time as those so-called event films from DC are happening. So wait a second. This rant gets even better. What are Warner Brothers? You're going to have two... Okay, they're not Harry Potter, but they're Harry Potter universe. Potterverse films and two DC films the same fucking month? Really? Wouldn't it make sense to, you know, diversify the portfolio and spread them out? Yeah, I get it. You want to have stuff in there for the Thanksgiving season, but what about the fucking summer? You know, don't give me... Yeah, I don't even know what Warner Brothers is developing for the summer period for those times, but, you know, if it turns out to be shit, then there'll be legitimate claim to go, movies release... of course, because we're that far ahead in time, all of these release dates could change, but just... You know, that's... I'm just cotton onto that now, seeing it in front of me. Warner Brothers, get your shit in. Just solve it. Sort it. Please. You didn't have this problem years and years before. But now all of a sudden it's like overload. Bloody hell. Oh. Well, calm down now. Oh wait, I can't because we're now talking about Terminator 5. So the title got revealed by Arnold Schwarzenegger and it's Genesis. No, not the normal spelling. Genysis. Now, unless that is like a plot point, because Genesis is going to be the name of something, why the hell are we misspelling it? You know, I hope that does have a purpose, because if not, if they're just doing it to say, oh, it's got a catchy title, yeah, I'll purposefully go up to the bloody, you know, cinema where I go, you know, I am, you know, one adult to see Terminator 5 Genysis or Genysis. You know, confuse them. Because they've got a stupid bloody title spelling. You know, if there's no purpose to the Genesis name, you know, you might as well make fun of it. You know, I guess they didn't want to call it Genesis in case Phil Collins or Peter Gabriel got pissed. Wow, I'm getting angry. Oh. I remember... Is Mind Wipe's philosophy rubbing off? Or like, you know, like grains of his skin are rubbing off somehow on me through, you know, Skype or whatever and turning me evil or something? God, it's... This is having a not very good effect, I guess. Holy shit. Ah, right. Oh, so something actually positive. And this is actually positive because I'm looking at it now. HBO's Westworld. I think it's going to pilot and then hopefully to series. Big names on the cast for this one. Jeffrey Wright and Rodrigo Santoro have joined... James Marsden, Evan Rachel Wood, and amazingly, Anthony Hopkins. I'm guessing Anthony Hopkins isn't going to be the Yul Brynner character, but you never know. If he's a waxwork, then we'll just go back to that one where he was the ventriloquist for the doll. That's... I approve. I love it. Samuel L. Jackson, I guess because he's busy not doing anything. Because Kingsman's done and I guess Avengers is filming. He is apparently in talks for Kevin Hart's next project, which is The Black Phantom. And once again, he'll be playing apparently the villain in this one. So, yeah. Samuel L. being the bad guy. He doesn't just have to be the good guy. Come on. That's awesome. Also awesome, Tony Jaa of Ong Bak and, Eastern martial arts recent memory fame and whatever. Ong Bak, certainly the first one he did, and I think a few other projects. He has joined the Kickboxer remake. Co-star, I don't know whether he's going to be we know he's the hero, but I don't know whether Tony Jaa is, I guess, going to be the brother that gets killed, or I guess the head villain alongside George St. Pierre and Dave Bautista, but this guy knows how to do martial arts, so I think he probably could also be there as a technical advisor as well for the fighting, because that's making me look more and more excited for that, because you've got somebody with a good reputation. If I look at the details, Portlandia, the director of that, Corey Brown, has taken over the Lost in Austin project from the late Nora Ephron, formerly of Mamma Mia. She was working on it, passed away, and yeah. Lost in Austin was a TV series over here in the UK, and basically it was somehow this modern, British girl got transported back in time to Jane Austen's days and sort of living the actual life, I think it was Elizabeth Bennet or something, I'm not sure, and somehow the Bennet came into the real world here as well. Played very well by, I can't remember the actress, but I remember Gemma Arterton was the one that came from the past into the future, which it wasn't a bad TV series. I don't know how it's going to be adapted into sort of a 2-hour comedy, but I guess we're going to have to cut 4 hours worth of material from the TV series. Well, probably 3, because it had adverts on, but, I don't know, but, Portlandia's got some acclaim, from what I've heard, hopefully she can live up to the potential that it certainly had when Nora Ephron was involved with it. Jennifer Lee co-wrote Wreck-It Ralph, which, should have won Oscars, I think. When, it should have won when Brave did. And then, of course, the following year, she co-wrote and also directed, co-directed, should I say, Frozen. She's now working on another Disney project, and this time it's A Wrinkle in Time, which I think is an in-house animation again, like Wreck-It Ralph and Frozen were. So no word on whether she's going to direct this one this time, but Wreck-It Ralph was good, Frozen was good. I think we're in safe hands for that one. We're going to have another good Disney project, hopefully. Amazingly, we're apparently getting a Ricky Gervais movie, or should I say a David Brent movie, the lead character from the UK Office, not to be confused with, I can't remember if he's called David Brent in the US version, but anyway, Ricky Gervais will be playing him, and it's supposed to be set 10 years after they last saw David Brent, and sort of living up his music stardom, I guess, wanting to play a festival. So that's probably coming out in 2015. And if it's anything like most of the TV movies that have come out over the last few years, or, you know, inspired by TV series, it's about 80% likely that it will be shit and 20% that it will be the in-betweeners. So, you know, let's hope for the 20 and not the 80. But knowing the reputation of TV things being adapted into movies, yes, I'm looking at you, Mrs. Brown's Boys, and Pudsey, the movie. We'll see. Sam Riley and Lily James have signed on for Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. I think Sam Riley will be playing Darcy, and Lily James will be Elizabeth Bennet. Natalie Portman, who was originally lined up to be then that role, will now be producing only. For some reason, there's going to be a US version or remake of The Raid, the excellent Indonesian martial arts film. Patrick Hughes is directing. Taylor Kitsch is going to be in the lead role. You know, him of John Carter and Battleship, that was so memorable that I nearly forgot when I just mentioned it then. Yeah, this is going to suck. That is all. And then also Paul Feig is wanted now, apparently, for Ghostbusters 3. And also Sony is now considering an all-female reboot of Ghostbusters. Just because of how iconic that is, I'll say no. No, just putting it out there. So finally, a review. And yeah, Boyhood. Wow. The best film possibly of the last 12 years. Because some of you may be going, how is that possible? It was filmed over 12 years. 6-year-old Ella Coltrane was picked by the writer-director, genius, Richard Linklater, and also, I think, his daughter, Lauralee Linklater, playing the sister. And what it is they filmed basically on and off for 12 years, chronicling the creation of this kid, and, you know, seeing him go from his childhood through his adolescence, you know, through various different stages in his life, through to his, you know, turning 18, and then on to his adulthood, you know, finishing college and everything. And it's a very deep film. It never feels like it's rushing in order to get stuff. It's just absolutely perfect, really, just in terms of timing and showcase, and just outstanding. Ella Coltrane does a great job in the lead, you know, pretty much to some extent, you know, playing himself. Lauralee Linklater as well, as the daughter, does well. And then the separated parents, Patricia Arquette and Ethan Hawke, doing brilliantly. And also basically seeing how Patricia Arquette never gets luck with partners, because eventually over time they just get bloody irate and mad and are drunks and are basically bastards. You know, the first guy that she's with is Ethan Hawke's character, but they split up. And, you know, there's even sort of a subplot with Ethan Hawke's character as well, in which he actually gets sort of a relatively nice, normal life, amazingly, whereas Patricia Arquette, you know, moves on, starts, you know, she basically gets, qualifications in teaching, falls in love with one of the teachers. That spins off into a story which doesn't end well. She then goes off, and one of the people that she then teaches, after she's got her qualifications and everything, falls in love with her, and he's like a prison attendant or something like that, or security guy. And, you know, he goes off the rails mainly because he served his time, you know, in the war, and I guess, you know, a little PTSD is getting to him. There's a lot of in-depth stories in there and stuff, and really not showcased enough. But it's hard to do in 2 hours and 40 minutes because you've got to give it the right presentation. But go see Boyhood if you can. If not, wait till it comes out on DVD. I'd say towards the end of the year. It's absolutely exceptional. It probably is going to be in my top films of the year when we get to December, January, whenever I decide to do it. Had to rush that because time is against me on this one, because I've got to go off and see movies and all that, which I'll be reporting on next podcast or show, whatever I do. I can say next week, but clearly, you know, on my reputation, that might happen, that might not. We'll see. Check out all the other shows on the network. Unplugged with Jeff and Bronx, Sunday Night Showdown, Get in a Zone, Beyond the Bell, the Elite Force podcast, the Whole Indie Show. Check out the archive of Run the Ropes. It's currently on hiatus. Unplugged CT for your conspiracy theories. I think that's everybody mentioned. Get in the Zone, Beyond the Bell, Elite Force podcast, my Whole Indie Show. Yeah, that's everything, I think. So, Song of the Night is the song that closes Boyhood. It's Arcade Fire with Deep Blue. Great song, great way to finish that film, great way to finish this show. I will speak to you all next time. Have a good period of time, people.